Hey gang, do you find yourself listening to your music on one app and then listening to your podcast on another app? If you do, stop this insane behavior right now and download Spotify. Spotify is home to all of your favorite music and all of your favorite podcasts. Podcasts including Fly on the Wall, the Saturday Night Live podcast with Dana Carvey and David Spade, the Rock on Tours podcast with Gary Kemp and Guy Pratt, old favorites like Fresh Air, My Favorite Murder, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Look, if you're looking for a news podcast or sports or entertainment or true crime, look, if you're looking for a sewing podcast or an RV podcast, Spotify has all of this for you. That's Spotify. All of your favorite music and all of your favorite podcasts in one place. Find it in your app store and start listening today. That's Spotify, music and podcasts. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here are your hosts.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I had a weird weekend, gang. I did, man. Friday, I played in San Antonio with Skyrocket. That was great. We played at Sam's Burger Joint Music Hall. Fantastic show. We played a different set than we've ever really played. And that was really, really fun and really engaging. And the crowd was fantastic. A ton of people came out. If you're listening to the show and you were there, thank you so much for coming out. We had such a good time. And I know the crowd did too. There was a lot of response to on social media. They wrote us and told us what a great time everyone had and what a great set it was. Really, really like a night that was on fire. So thank you if you did come out to that show. Saturday morning, I woke up and just felt like total crap, man. Like a massive cold. I was supposed to do all this stuff. I was supposed to have a podcast that day with this great guy, Ricky Stein. I had to postpone it because I felt like crap. I was supposed to go see the Blue Bonnets and Ian Moore that night. I was on the list and everything. Didn't go. Felt like crap. Sunday morning, woke up, same thing, felt like crap. I was supposed to get together and jam with some friends of mine, and I just couldn't do it. I felt like shit. Now it's Monday when I'm doing this intro, and I do feel a lot better. I did wake up and take Advil Cold and Sinus first thing, and I've had some coffee and went for a walk with Rosie and just kind of like getting back into being physical, because laying around for 2 days really kind of does a number on you, you know? I did watch that movie Air about the Air Jordans, and it was really good. Really good movie. One thing I gotta say is, like, in 2023, like, what's going on? Like, wigs still look stupid on people. Like, Ben Affleck's wearing a wig. He directed the movie. He's a great director, by the way. I like a lot of his movies. Anyway, I don't know what's going on with wigs. They can do all this stuff, like make Robert De Niro like 50 years younger looking. They can bring Carrie Fisher back from the dead and put her in a movie. But you can't put a wig on without it looking weird. You know what I mean? And fake and stupid. Anyway, Air, good movie. You can watch it. It's on Prime. You can just, like, if you have Prime, you can just watch it. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. Heather Wagner-Reed, founder of Juice Consulting, returns to the show today. Yeah, she was on a few years ago. We talked about her history in music, how she got started in music. She started off in college radio. When she was in college, she was working in college radio. Then she went to the record companies, to Universal, ended up going to Holland and working overseas in Europe for Universal Records, then got picked up by the Knowles family, like the Beyonce Knowles family. And for 5 years, she was a senior product manager for Music World Entertainment Sanctuary Records. At Music World, Heather also worked with such artists as Destiny's Child, Solange, Mario. Anyway, then she went on to start Juice Consulting. And that was 16 years ago. And this Friday, May 19th, they are celebrating Juice's 16 years on this sweet earth with a Sweet 16 parties, an 80s themed Sweet 16 party this Friday, May 19th from 7 to 11 p.m. at Native Hostels Ballroom here in Austin, Texas, featuring music from Primo the Alien and Henry Invisible. Primo will be my guest on the show on Friday. Yeah, she's coming back. returning to the show. Both of these guys are great friends of mine for a while. And the event is sponsored by Spin Magazine. There'll be a silent auction benefiting some really great nonprofits here in Austin, including Sonic Guild, Swan Songs, the Adderley School Foundation, A Chance to Rock, and the Quiddity Foundation. There will be pop-ups by Gold Rush Vinyl and Modern Rock's Gallery. So yeah, man, fantastic party. Heather and I are friends, man. I've been working with Juice through the podcast. I mean, I've had the podcast now for almost 12 years, and I think I've been working with them for at least 10 of those years. And they've been sending me people to the show at least like one or, yeah, I'll say like on an average, at least once or twice a month, there's a Juice Consulting client on my show. So I deal with her and her team a lot. And Heather and I become friends. I actually hired them as my publicist for an EP I put out 5 years ago called Leper Hands. Fantastic experience with them. They're great people. And Heather has branched out. She not only does music, but she also works with a lot of nonprofits here in Austin. And she works in the tech community. She also does a lot more things than just Juice Consulting. She is an adjunct faculty member at Austin Community College, and she started the class PR and Marketing for Creatives. She is a partner in Freewater, which is a new water company. She tells us all about it. Fantastic story there. She also even has a booth at an antique place where she collects and sells mid-century modern vintage furniture and stuff. Isn't that cool? Heather's a great person, man. We're great friends. And she, you know, we have a great conversation about the future of publicity with AI. We get into the history of Juice Consulting, what they've been doing for the last 16 years. The team that she's had has been the same people for quite some time, and they're all moving up. How she trusts them enough at this point to head out and go to Europe and stuff for the summer and let them take over. Let the lunatics run the asylum. Anyway, people like Madison and Tyler there, I've been dealing with them for a long time. They're great people. All the people there have always been great and really nice people. And Heather is a fantastic person. She does great work in our community. She's very, very involved in all things nonprofit, all things music. She was a part of the Grammy Association, a board member for a long time. Involved in everything. Anyway, so without further ado, this is me and my dear friend, Heather Wagner-Reed, founder of Juice Consulting, who turns 16 this year, and they're having their Sweet 16 party this Friday, May 19th. You can find them at juiceconsulting.com. All right, here's me and Heather chatting it up. Let's get down. May 19th is her birthday, 100th birthday. That's why I'm not going to your party.
Is she in Houston?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How nice.
Otherwise, I was excited. When you first asked me, I was like, hell yeah. And then I was like, oh, that's my grandma's 100th birthday.
Realize that. Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, yeah. So, you know, various aunts and stuff. My dad, my brothers and sisters and me are paying his rent and stuff. Just, you know, that stuff that happens.
That's great. I had a grandmother that lived to 100 too.
You did?
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah, she lived to 100, Pennsylvania. I was at her 100th birthday.
Was she Latvian?
Yes!
Yeah, look at that.
God.
I read the thing.
Yeah, so she, that side of my family, they all came from Latvia and I think Lithuania. And then, but she was born in America.
Oh, right.
But her husband was an immigrant and came during the Holocaust from Latvia.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, you're half Jewish and half Catholic. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, it should
be a lot of guilt going on.
Half Catholic, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't want to mess with me. I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. No, I was raised Catholic, but my father was Jewish. My biological father was Jewish. And then my mom pretty much sent me to Catholic school. They, you know.
Right.
My mom raised me, so I went to Catholic school and then was all Catholic until I became a hippie in college.
Yeah.
And then I became spiritual. I still cherish my Catholic roots. Like, I'll always identify that way.
Yeah.
But I also identify with the Jewish culture, not really, you know, the practice as much as just the culture and the influence of the tribe that that is.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel that's it. That's exactly all the time.
What they refer to it as. Yeah. The tribe. Mm-hmm. I've been told that I have the tribe vibe. There have been people that have been shocked that I'm not Jewish.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's from living in Miami and like going to like growing up around a bunch of Jewish people. And I feel like in the East Coast, there's like a sensibility. You know what I mean? Uh-huh, like there's a there's an East, like I feel like I have that more than like a Southern.
Now that you say that, I vibe. See that.
Yeah.
I see that.
So I'm a little bit brash in a way, but it's a natural sort of like.
Yeah. Are you, what is your family lineage?
Cuban.
Cuban.
Yeah.
Okay. I would have thought Italian maybe, but no.
Well, there's Italian in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, yeah, all kinds of stuff. You were talking about your furniture, and this is one thing that I've been following your Instagram page, your mid-century modern, what do you have, a booth at an antique? That is so out there.
What do you? Yeah.
The other thing too is like you also like you, people place this shit on women more than they do on men. But you're like a you're a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like full on mom stuff. Oh no, yeah. I forgot to turn off the air. Hold on.
Yep.
You seem to always be doing stuff with your kids still, but you're an adjunct professor. You're on the board of all these different things. You obviously just consulting must take up some portion of your day.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's just a lot, huh?
It is. It is. Well, it's the, let's see, where do I begin? I definitely have like, I feel like I have little sectors in my life and my world, you know, the mom thing is the big one, right?
Being, yeah. That's
being
the,
a mother is a priority.
That's the one you can't ignore.
Definitely not. It is, you know, my biggest joy as well. But then I've got Juice Consulting, which is my full-time job and agency. And then I've got these other little things like teaching at ACC in the program there, adjunct, you know.
That's really awesome.
Teaching in the music business program there.
Yeah.
And then my antique booth, which is really...
How often do you go, like on Sundays or something, to your antique booth?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, really, it doesn't require a lot of time. It's more... I usually go once a month to make sure it looks good and it's replenished with things and I've, you know, pick up my checks and all that stuff.
Oh, you got a person that works it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're not there.
I don't. Well, they run it themselves. I mean, it's like a fully self-operational thing.
That's so cool.
There's like 30, 40, 50, I don't know how many vendors, but it's like huge. And so it's been easy from that perspective. And then finding the things for the booth is what I do in my spare time. That's what I love doing is like the picking out of things, you know, seeking things, going to the little towns around Austin and just trying to find the coolest stuff to put in there. That gives me that's like the little, endorphin thing. Yeah. It's like, I get really excited.
Yeah. 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 It's not really work. It's just exciting and fun.
It is really fun.
Do you remember that? Did you ever, were you into that when you lived in Houston? Remember that antique barn on Heights Boulevard?
Yeah, well, I do remember. I went to all kinds of stuff in Houston.
It was like that. Like there were different booths within this giant barn
that's exactly
thing.
Right.
I used to rehearse like there for
really?
A while.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have like a mall up there too.
Yeah.
So it was inspired by, you know, basically the fact that I was starting to collect things without really having a place to put them. And I realized I've got to do something. I can't keep doing. Yeah, I can't keep collecting and collecting.
But you don't want to stop because that's fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's a hobby and a passion. So
yeah.
So that's when what happened was during the pandemic, people were kind of leaving their booths. There was like maybe two or three people that had left because of COVID and some availability came open.
Okay.
That thing is hard to get into otherwise.
Yeah, I bet. There's a whole culture. Like I have a stepmom that lives in Miami and she didn't come to Texas to visit me. She stops by when she comes and like antiques with her friends for like 4 days in the hill country and all around.
Yeah.
So you're here because Juice Consulting is turning 16. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I was realizing the other day when we were going to do this that I have a unique perspective that I've worked with you on both levels.
Yes,
both
you have.
As a publicist and as a media outlet that you solicit to.
Yeah, that is exactly right.
Yeah. And you have a great team. I was just thinking about like I've been talking to Tyler and Madison forever.
I know.
How long has Madison been there? 10 years?
She's 9 years.
Nine years
with us.
Wow.
Yeah. I think Tyler's going on six or is around six right now. So they both have been recently promoted to directors. So well-deserved.
Yeah, very much so.
Madison's director of PR services and Tyler's director of operations.
Yeah.
And so that's helpful for me because now I'm like, all right, you guys are in charge.
Well, you also, it seems like you have to go and sort of like, it, like you're dealing with some really big, like you did all those parties for the spin parties, the, yep. I wrote them all down,
mm-hmm.
and the Canada house that had Cirque du Soleil and South Asian house and Free Water, which by the way, I want to ask you more about that because I know you're deeply involved with that. A Sonic Guild. Oh no, that, yeah, yeah. And you worked with these NFT companies, Songbits, and Festival Pass. So is your job now basically you're out like getting the clients?
Yeah, well, exactly. Like I think I'd say I'm out there in the community, you know, representing mm-hmm. the company, pulling in the business, doing a lot of the high level client relations and strategy for the campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
But the implementation of a lot of it is my team, you know, and if I have to pick up the, you know, when I call journalists, if I'm making a call to the writers, it's because I'm really like, I got something, I got some scoop for you, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
you got,
yeah.
please pick up this call because yeah, yeah. I have a story. But no, my team, they work with the media every day, all day. So we've all come into our own as to what we're really, you know, focused on. And of course I still do 90% of our billing and HR, you know, a higher level, you know, HR related things. Tyler's very helpful on that too. He really helps me on a day to day with the HR. But I think it's like being a company owner, you have to free yourself up from the weeds. Otherwise you can't
right.
sleep at night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I've had to learn how to do that and I'm still learning. And this summer I said, guys, I'm going to give you a little test drive because I'm going to take up since like I was saying earlier, my mom passed away in October and I feel like I just need some time to slow down and really breathe after losing her. And so this summer I'll take a little bit more of that time for myself than I usually do. And that's why I'm excited to see what happens. I think Tyler and Maddie are going to rock it.
Yeah, they're going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll still be involved and around. It's just that I want them, after all this time they've put into the company and all the time we've been hustling, you know, I want them to rise up too and to feel like, all right.
Yeah.
Now we have a team supporting us.
Yeah.
You know, and they do.
It's funny because I guess I should have gone through their emails because there's someone new that wrote me about Primo coming on the show.
Yes.
And
Sophie. Yeah.
And I was the emails get more confident at the more years, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey Johnny, I got this guy for you. And she was more like, hi, I'm Sophie, and I'm, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was interesting because like the confidence that Tyler and Madison have now, it's yeah. sorry.
Well, they know you so well.
Hey.
And that's the funny part about what we do is it is about the relationships and it's about being able to call people who are your colleagues and friends and say, you know, hey, here's a business, you know, here's something that's going to be maybe interesting for you. The best way to put it is the publicist and media outlet relationship is a very mutually copacetic, mutually beneficial thing. You know, we're helping one another. We're giving stories. You guys are covering our clients.
Yeah.
But it becomes a very special relationship where you know these people. We know you very well
yeah.
now, you know, and
yeah.
we know what you're interested in and we know how to approach you and we only bring you things we really think you'd like.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And that gets to be that, that's important. Mm-hmm. I think after a while is to be able to really know who you can service where.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're having this big party, and this isn't an open to the public party. This is invitation only, but you yeah. can win some
yes
invites on your Instagram.
Yes. Yeah, and we did that because honestly, you know, if I could invite 2,000 people, I would, because that's how many people we work with and interact with every single day.
Yeah.
So we have only got a capacity, you know, the ballroom at Native, and there's, you know, limits to the capacity. So I decided, well, if there's somebody I'm not inviting because I just haven't even been able to think about it. I'm like trying to keep it, you know, clients and media with some, you know, close relationships to the agency. But at the end of the day, I want people to be able to come. So yeah, that's why we're doing the giveaways. So if people want to come, also if people want to come, they can call me. I'd love for them to just be like, I want to come.
Yeah.
But right now it's like, we have to, I don't want the fire code to be an
sure.
issue.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or people that you invited not being able to get in because other people
snuck
right.
in. That's
right.
You were at the 10-year, right?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, so
yeah,
that
yeah.
was a big one.
Wasn't that at, was that WeWork?
That was at Impact Hub.
At
which
Impact
is now
Hub, right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's like, we had 400 people there and that was, I was so surprised because I mean, that was on a Thursday night, I think. Which is like, how do you
yeah.
get 400 people out on Thursday night? That's hard.
No, there was a lot
this
of
people. This one's a Friday
there,
night.
Yeah. Wow. This is going to be good. You got music by Primo the Alien and Henry Invisible.
Yep.
Two great clients of yours. Great artists, too. And you have a silent auction that benefits Sonic Guild, Swan Songs, the Adderley School Foundation, A Chance to Rock, and the Quiddity Foundation. Is that what you say?
Yep. Okay. Yep. And we've been adding more. We added Spaceflight Records this week.
Oh, fantastic.
We love them, and we're starting to do a lot more work with them. And we also added Grounded in Music, who we've worked with for a very long time. And so... we're going to do the silent auction is going to be like a bunch of really cool eclectic stuff. I'm even throwing some stuff in there from my antique booth. Like we got some fun items.
That's awesome.
And then a lot of people have been donating, like Modern Rocks Gallery has a big blow up picture of Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
From one of the photography exhibitions they had.
I went to that one. The Ed Carriff one.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. You were there.
Yeah.
So we're going to auction that off.
Yeah.
And this is one of my favorite things is Karen Keller from Gold Rush Vinyl is doing an entire group of vinyl art sculptures that she's been making from remnant vinyl that hasn't been plastic that she has been using. So colorful, beautiful, extra, you know, she's making these sculptures. And I've been aware of these sculptures for a while now because I've been buying them as gifts for friends. And I'm like, Karen, this is like the most incredible art. You need to do an art opening. And I said, someday I want to do something with you. So we're doing it at the party. We're going to have these sculptures. We're going to put them into the auction and help raise money with them.
Right.
And then she's going to come down with her team and do the taking the vinyl records and doing spin art with graffiti.
Yeah.
You know, and then people can take those home with them that night.
What was that really called? What was that thing called that you could get that you'd buy when we were kids?
Oh, yeah. I know. It's
Spirograph? No. That was a
it's
different thing.
It's kind of like that. Spirograph, yeah, or something like
I
that.
I love those things. That's so awesome. And Modern Rocks will be there?
Yeah, Modern Rocks is going to have like a pop-up gallery, a mini gallery of 80s, pictures from their collection. So I think he's got some old Madonna and obviously a lot of David Bowie and a lot of, you know.
He posted a great Beyonce photo on Instagram today, I saw.
Oh, did he? Yeah. I didn't see that.
Beautiful photo.
I need to look.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just throwing a little note out there about Modern Rocks. We need to get him on your show.
You got him on my show.
He was on your show.
Yeah.
Okay. He's fascinating, right?
Like so great. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just for those listening, Stephen Walker was...
In Modern English.
In Modern English. Yeah. And Modern English was the very first rock band I ever went to see when I was 15 years old.
You're kidding me.
In Atlanta, Georgia.
That's amazing.
And so... I will say the first show I ever saw was The Monkees. Oh, I don't mind. It was The Monkees. But then when I think about first rock show or alternative rock show, it was definitely Modern English, which changed my life. You know, once I heard Melt With You and stopped. Yeah, you know, like the whole, it got me into a different realm of music. And so when I met Steve, I was like, I've been hearing about you for years. I knew you were in Austin. And then he becomes a client. And then he's such a cool guy.
What a cool guy.
So we love working with them.
Yeah. And that gallery is great too. I went to a party, the Ed Carriff one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, was God, wasn't that incredible? Yeah. Yeah. I have two pieces in my house from there now, and I'm starting to geek out about all this work he has. And, you know, some of the price points are really good.
I've told a couple of friends of mine, like, after I went there, I was like, man, there's this place where you can go see, like, outtakes from, Heroes, the Heroes album cover and stuff like that. Like, all this stuff, like, he had some photos like from the last photo shoot that Bowie did a couple days before he died.
Yeah.
Where you could see the cigarette in his hand because he was like, I'm going back to smoking. This is over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, when you start to go to those openings, you start to see the works he's bringing through, you realize that he's got something very special going on. It's not like just a typical, you know, photographic show.
All.
It's like this is the real deal. And if you're into music memorabilia and stuff, like it is the place to go. So I got really excited because my son, I think it was Ed Carafe, but my son was at one of the openings with me and his name is Livingston. And we named him after the book Jonathan Livingston Seagull, which was by Richard Bach in the 70s. And my favorite book growing up.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was one of mine.
Was it?
I think that was like required reading for little kids in the 70s.
It might have been, you know. It might have been.
Your parents were cool.
My biological father turned me on to Richard Bach when I was 15, and then I started reading all of the books. But Jonathan Livingston Seagull was the first. And so anyway, fast forward, we're at this opening at Modern Rocks, and there you go. It's the Neil Diamond, Jonathan Livingston Seagull cover art that was shot.
By
the
Ed.
Original cover art. And he was there.
Yeah.
So I got to take Livingston to meet him and get a picture and get it signed. Like, all that stuff happened. And that was extraordinary. Because his whole young life, he's been listening to that Neil Diamond record.
Right, right.
Of Jonathan Livingston Seagull. So that was so special.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff that happens at Modern Rock's gallery.
Yeah, man. And it's just, it's so unassuming, too. It's just there among all those other little places. And that whole area is really cool. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called.
The Canopy.
The Canopy.
Big Medium and all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a great area.
All right, so people can just go and sign up on your Instagram?
Yeah, they just could go to our Instagram. We're going to be picking names pretty much every 2 days the next week to and announcing ticket giveaways. So our first one's going to come out today, and then all you have to do is just follow the instructions. The post is up there. You can see it with all the details of the party and everything. And I hope lots of friends will come who want to come, who might be even, you know, acquaintances, but we'd love to have you come out if you want to come.
Yeah.
It's going to be... And it'll be a rager, I hope, anyway.
Yeah, until 11. There's going to be a bunch of spilling out.
We're going to make it till 12.
There's going to be spilling out into the area there. I love that place.
Yeah.
And the events that they've had, the AMF things that I've done there with them have been great.
Oh, yeah.
They have a great...
One of the most unique spots in town to book things, because they've got different size rooms. Antonio is so awesome to work with. Like, he's always wanting to bring the most culturally, you know, interesting events there. So he's just so approachable. And so we're actually talking to him now about some possibilities in the future of some big events we're planning in the fall.
Yeah.
And we work with him on Photo House, or have worked with Photo House over the past year, and done some stuff with Native too. So yeah, it's been really cool.
So tell me a little bit about Free Water.
Oh, like, my God. Can I just get something out of my purse? Because I meant to do this earlier. Thank you for asking about this.
Yeah.
So I brought my own little bottle of Free Water here. This is the one we did for Juice Consulting.
Okay.
And we did that for our 15-year anniversary. And then we ended up saving a lot of them for this party on Friday. But that's got like an ad on it that has our team members. And it basically is a call to action about the company. It's got a QR code on it that kind of says, hey, go here for more information.
Awesome.
And you can get a discount off of PR services if you mention you saw the bottle. But basically...
That is rad.
Free. So the water is free because it's paid for by ads.
Okay.
And we've been working with Free Water for almost, I feel like, 2 years now. Started out as client, you know, traditional client relationship where they called and said, hey, we need PR services. And Josh is like, the founder, he's like, I called all these firms and no one picked up. You're the first person to pick up. So let's talk. And I'm like, okay. And then he started telling me about the concept. And I was like, this sounds fascinating. And the bottom line is we started to work together and really after a few months realized that there was something more than just a client relationship. I was like, I was very much into the concept, and I'll explain more, but I ended up becoming a partner in the company. And so now I'm very involved in it on a strategic level, just trying to help them succeed. And then my company still does the PR and marketing stuff, you know, but it's just been such a blast. So basically the concept is just like creating, water's the first product, but you know, goods and products that would be available for free because advertisers would pay for the packaging.
Right.
And when they do that, not only are they underwriting the costs and everything, but then 10 cents, for example, from every bottle that is paid for goes back to building water wells right now.
Awesome.
In countries that need it
because
there's such water scarcity issues. So there is a philanthropic angle. They're also getting ready to announce the world's first free vending machine that's going to be coming out in the next few weeks, meaning you can just go and, you know,
get something.
There's a way to interact with the vending machine where you're going to have to, you know, see an ad to get the water, but then you're going to get the water and then you'll be able to just, you know, take your water and go. So he's conceived the world's first free supermarket. You know, a lot of very kind of like, you know, paradigm shifting ideas.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So Josh Clifford is the founder and amazing guy.
Are they based out of here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It really is.
How do you find them? Freewater.com?
Freewater.io.
.io.
Mm-hmm. Or io. Even better, go to their TikTok page.
Okay.
I think it's also freewater.io. And you will see the videos and content that they're doing. But they have become a global phenomenon because the world is seeing the idea and they're just like, what? And people are going nuts. All over the world, countries all over the place are sending messages daily. I mean, like I was on the Facebook administration for a while, and it was like every 5 minutes, ping, 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 ping. So the company's grown, and we just like we'll post video and get millions of likes or views. One video got 30 million views in a very short period of time. Now, that's because it was a compelling piece of content. You have to have that.
Yeah, yeah, but, that's right.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm really enjoying watching how this is like blowing up so organically and authentically. It's really cool.
That is awesome. That's a question about the way that you've worked for so long. Like when you started Juice Consulting 16 years ago, you were they were magazines.
Yeah.
Physical magazines. Is Spin still physical?
No.
It's not?
Nope. It is
online
only.
I thought they were still one of the last ones. I miss that stuff.
Yeah.
And that magazine, like, not sorry, I know this is an 80s party, but it's perfect to have them do your thing because for people, like, I remember when they came on the scene, it was like, oh, Rolling Stone is like for my uncle. Now this one's mine. This is talking about the guys that I like, not just Crosby, Stills, and Nash, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're talking about modern English and stuff like that we wanted to hear about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually such an honor to be working with them right now because we did start working with them for South by this year and we produced four events for them. And we really just got to know them through this process. And it was pretty crazy because I think at the end of the day, knowing that we were working with such an iconic brand and you know, magazine was an honor.
Yeah.
But now that we've worked with them, we're gonna continue to work with them. We're getting ready to do some stuff for ACL this year. And we've also got a really cool thing in the works, which I was given permission I could talk about. So, but they are considering maybe putting a content studio here in Austin.
Awesome.
And you're the first person hearing about this.
That's amazing. And thank you for the scoop.
Yeah. And so if that happens, that would be very cool for the city because Spin just announced Spin Labs, which is like an incubator for music and tech startups. They also have a big movement within the impact realm, working with philanthropy. Mm-hmm. And then they've obviously got the music stuff. And I'm like, Austin is like, you can't get any better than that here. Right. You got all three of those here. So so we're going to be on the lookout.
And that's your wheelhouse.
Mm, it is. It is. I know.
All three. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. So we're working with them on maybe, you know, A, finding space to do this, B, finding partners and underwriters, C, conceiving what this will look like. So
right.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Congratulations. Because that is a great partnership.
Yeah.
And it's super like, and congratulations. That was a great article that you sent me. Yeah. That's so cool.
Thank you.
So my question is like, you have this, like at this point, like there were no podcasts 16 years ago. There was magazines still. There were websites that were doing things, but things have changed. Like, I don't know if Pitchfork is as important as it once was or because everything shifts so much. Do you guys do TikTok and stuff? Like, is that part of your,
well,
your,
I will
what
tell
you now?
I will say this much. I mean, I encourage all of our clients to consider, especially the creators, to get on TikTok because it is a viral machine. You know, you can break an artist on TikTok. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that with that Fleetwood Mac thing.
Exactly. Or you bring something back on TikTok. And so I love seeing artists do what they do on TikTok now, whether it's the right medium for any brand. That's a whole nother discussion. We've not really activated on it yet as a company because we're still, I mean, I'd say Instagram's been our sweet spot. LinkedIn has been our sweet spot. But, you know, there might be a point where I get to doing TikTok. I think I need that younger person on the team who's going to want to spend all their time making content.
That's
That's the bottom line. It takes time to make that content.
I was on it for a while. I made one video of Rosie, but I just felt like I was like, I feel like if I post something on here, it'll be like when I started this podcast and I posted something on Reddit and people were like, get out of here, you weirdo. Like they really got mad because I was like advertising and they're like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
So, when you're doing consultations, what I'm trying to say?
Like a TikTok department or something?
Yeah. Is there like a social media department where like, because that's really where everything is bought and sold
now.
That's right.
Yeah. No, well, we do have consultations. So basically we have like, if you go to our website, juiceconsulting.com, there's like a page of all of our services. And we probably have like, I don't know, 16 different things we do or maybe 12, somewhere between 12 and 16. And social media is one of them. I'd say everything on there goes in order of like how people end up hiring us. So PR, marketing,
right,
international activations. That's a huge one for us during South by.
Oh, right. So when they come here,
when all the countries are coming, we get hired a lot by different countries.
To set up their events and like the Asia house, South Asia house and stuff. Okay.
Yeah. We do, you know, social media. We have red carpet services. We have celebrity outreach. We have media sponsors. We have a butts and seats service.
What is that?
Butts and seats is when, you know, you're having an event. You want to get the right people in the room.
Yeah.
Hire us. We will help curate that list. We'll help get them out because have a really good list of people that we've been working with for years. So anyway, it goes on and on and on. The social media thing is part of that. But I would say to you that there's certain things we do well in-house and there's certain things I would absolutely outsource with that. So the things we do in-house is we can, generally speaking, give you the right ideas and concepts for growing your accounts, engagement, things you need to focus on, you know, general rules of thumb on how to post, when to post, blah, 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 the basics. And then also we can create the content calendar for you because we are content creators,
right?
So we've done that for clients as well. That aside, when it comes to really doing the specific engagement, advertising, and, you know, platform growth, we have like two or three partners we work with on those things.
Oh, that's good.
And so we would then bring them in and say, hey, now this agency needs to take over because they really know what they're doing, especially when it comes to the targeted advertising and stuff. That's a very specific science. So we have partners in a lot of those areas. Like we would definitely partner on, we do events, but our events are, I'd say, more intimate in nature. And we have, when we need to build out our production team, we have a couple partners we work with in town. Good Wolf Entertainment being one of them. We've also just worked with Mike Henry,
old school
Mike Henry did an extraordinary job with us for Spin magazine. He nailed it for Spin. I love that guy, great person. We build out as needed, and we have trusted partners that we've been working with for a long time, so that makes it work. You know, like video production, we get hired for that all the time, but I don't personally work behind a camera, but I know three or four people in town that do, you know, and we just hire out.
Yeah.
So.
It's interesting because you've got to stay so on top of the, like, at one point when you started doing this, everything was one way. And I know I keep on going back to this, but.
Yes.
But.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything about it has, like everything about it has changed so much.
Yeah.
And it, even since you and I first talked, you know what I mean? Mm. Since you first sent someone to this podcast, at that point you were probably like, well, I guess we got to start sending stuff to podcasts. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you worked with these guys, the NFT, the Song Bits and Festival Pass that do NFTs. And there's a whole new, did you learn about NFTs? Because I moderated a panel last year, not this year, but last year at South by Southwest about them. And like someone sent a couple pictures to me of them afterwards. And I was like, like all the pictures of me, like looking at the person talking like, what?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I still don't understand the NFT or the need for one.
Oh,
that's
the
part that I don't understand is why would someone want one?
Yeah.
Outside of this cool Donald Trump ones where he's in a spaceship.
Well, right. I mean, exactly. I will tell you that, thanks for bringing that up because it's something that I think people are still trying to grasp. A lot like when Bitcoin probably first arrived to the scene.
Yeah, people
are like, what the hell is that?
Either.
You know,
yeah,
the whole crypto thing. Well, you know, once you start to, I will say one of the concepts of an NFT that really drove it home for me in my mind is our client Songbits. When they come to South by now twice, and interesting company that's, the partner in the company is Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics.
Oh, wow.
And the founder is Russell, who is the son of the man who basically started Trident Studios in the UK.
Oh, wow.
Russell's father helped discover Queen, the band Queen, and he had the Beatles and various, you know, David Bowie and various bands outside of Abbey Road. This was like the big studio in London.
Trident's huge.
So Russell's come into town a couple times now, and when they've been talking about the NFT, the way they explain it is it's like you basically have the ability to buy part of a song and own the digital, some digital aspects of that song.
Okay.
And you can own a refrain. You can own a beat. You can own a word. You can own probably the whole thing if you had enough money. But in the form of an NFT, it's a digital asset, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So basically, now that they've launched and we've put a few press releases out, the best way to explain it is this is like the ultimate thing for a fan. Can you imagine like the Rolling Stones putting out a new record and you get to help them raise money for their next record by buying part of a song that they're either making or have made already for record.
Right.
And then when you hear that song on the radio, you're like, I'm a little tiny bit owner in that song. It's like investing in content.
That is so weird.
But that's awesome, their though. Version of
yeah,
NFT.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah.
So it's all digital.
Right.
You know, but it still blows my mind sometimes. But when I, you know, and again, Festival of Pass, who's here in Austin, you know, they also have that aspect to their company. But Songbits, when they explained it to me, I'm like, this actually, to me, is something I can talk to consumers about and really explain in a way that they might understand easily. You know, it's not like you're getting into the crypto talk or the Web3 talk. It's like, here's the thing. Like, you know how you hear a song?
Yeah.
What if you actually owned part of that song? Yeah. Isn't that cool? So anyway. Yeah.
I was just imagining riding in a car with someone and a song comes on. He's like, oh, that I own that verse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so fans could actually help prepay for projects.
Wow. What an interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It is really, really interesting. So.
Extremely interesting. What about AI? Do you get involved with any of that stuff?
Well, just from the standpoint of trying to stay ahead of it, you know, this whole chat GPT thing is, I think, as soon as that got on the scene, especially the guys at Freewater, they're like, we have to get all over this, Heather. You know, we have to get. And I think that from a content, like, how could it change our industry exponentially? I think it's going to really change things. But I also saw a survey of PR professionals that are using AI right now, and I was kind of shocked to see how many people are already using some version of AI software. Really? Which I don't know if that's like writing press releases or what, but I mean, that might take a little bit of the joy out of it for me, because I love writing, I love making content, and I love, you know, that's a human action for me that I love doing. So I don't know how I feel about this,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But then I was reading that some of the medical advice that AI is giving has more, was it empathy or something? So there's some weird article about how a doctor explains it versus AI, and that there's a positive thing for AI.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
God. So what are you thinking about it?
Well, I mean, I think both things. There was one where I was just scared. Like a few months ago, I was just scared.
Right.
Like I was like, oh no. And then you start hearing like these new Beatles songs and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God. And then I read a thing that Casey McPherson posted about the research being done on his daughter. He has an extremely rare disease that she's dying from actively. And that the amount of time to find a cure like diminishes exponentially with AI as opposed to people trying to find the cure.
Whoa.
So I mean those are the things that will make you know,
that's
it's cool. Gonna be a good and bad thing. There is did you watch 2001?
I guess
well the computer takes over 1960 the year I was born, but I've seen it a bunch of times. But the computer takes over and like it's like, why are you trying to leave? Like, and locks the doors and stuff. And I have an aunt that has her whole house is controlled by Alexa, like the locks, everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? You're giving this thing a lot of power. Like, right. That's the thing that freaks me out is the Terminator and like what happens if the machines take over, what happens to us?
Mm-hmm. Well, we went, actually the Freewater team, we actually got into the launch party, the Gigafactory opening party for Tesla. And that was something else, like unbelievable. We were walking around and, you know, you see all the self-automated driving cars and all this stuff and the new Cybertrucks and how they make it, all the stuff. And then you get into the area where there's the humanoid or the robot that is being created and how beautiful it is. It's actually quite lovely to look at. It's like very attractive. And of course, it looks like a robot, but it's so beautiful and well done. And all I can think about is you just put the AI with that body. And then that's it. When we're talking about, you know, I read something about AI becoming sentient and having emotions and feelings. I'm like, oh my God, we might end up either living with this other, then maybe it's like when the Neanderthals were here, you know, is it going to be crossbreeding? What's going to happen?
Yeah, 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 exactly.
You never know. There's a lot of very strange people out there. Oh, God. Did I just say that on a podcast?
Well, I mean, yeah. It's like, what was that movie with Joaquin Phoenix, Her?
Yeah.
Like that. Like, there's going to be people like that that are just in love with the person on their phone that's talking to them. Yeah, it's going to be weird. What scared me the most about AI, and we can go back to normal things afterwards, was a few weeks ago, like Elon Musk and the Google guy and a few other people came out and said, everybody stop because we don't know where this is going. And I was like, oh my God. Like, the people that know about it are saying, like, maybe we need to slow down.
Yeah.
Because it's moved. I mean, it's moving so fast that
it's
a little scary.
That is the thing that I think that is probably, maybe we're not fully aware of how fast it's moving, because I think we all sense it just because every day you read something in the news about this and it's like, oh, now it's doing this. Now it's doing that. It's like the speed at which it can, you know, conquer different tasks is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So...
I thought my favorite musical AI thing so far. Oh, I listened to this interview with, you know, Grimes?
Yeah.
With her manager. Mm-hmm. And they have embraced it completely. And they started a website where, like, if you do an AI thing with Grimes' voice or whatever, you can submit it to them. And there's a Spotify playlist that they'll put it in, Spotify account they'll put it on. And you just split the publishing with her. She's just like, I'll keep half of your money because you're using my whole thing to make your thing happen. So even though you're using AI.
That's a kind of brilliant move right
there. Super brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like the anti Lars Ulrich movement where you can't, like, this thing's coming, like when he fought Napster.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the thing for me is, like, it's coming. How are we going to work with it? Because fighting it is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yeah. We're entering a very interesting time in human history. I think about my kids and the stuff that they're going to have to, you know, deal with. And, you know, even just the smallest things let's talk about the biggest things, like climate change, you know, and how things are, like, climate shifts, whatever you want to call it, you know, but whatever it is, it's happening, right? Mm-hmm. Did you notice how cool it was this spring here until, like, just this week?
Yeah.
It was so weird because I remember just, you know, 10 years ago, March was, you're sweltering in Austin. Yeah. I think even little things like that are getting more and more noticeable.
Yeah. You know?
Obviously the winter storms are getting and just the extreme weather.
You know,
it's crazy.
But you know what scares me is my own father, honest to God, last week was asking me if I've noticed all this change in, like, hurricanes and tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, it's getting pretty crazy out there. He's like, yeah, these are man-made. I'm not joking.
No, I've heard that a lot.
And I was like, how do you make a tornado, dude? Like, there's no, what kind of machine do you build that makes a tornado? Like, there's no thing like that.
Yeah.
But it's scary because it seems like people are sort of delving under their own rocks and not finding stuff, which is another interesting thing about publicity and just kind of like how like everything is so in its own lane. You know, even like a television show, like when people were talking about when Tucker Carlson got taken off, it was the highest rated show and all it had was 2 million viewers. Like, that's how small your audiences are now and how specific you are. Is that changed a lot for you guys? Like, you know very specifically the client you have and the lane that they have to be in. You don't waste a lot of time trying to fling it everywhere. You know?
Yeah, I think it depends on what it is, obviously. We kind of always analyze when we start a PR campaign what opportunities we think there are for it, you know? Especially on a national level. I mean, on a local level, if it's something that's interesting to the community at large, then we try to be very holistic about it. But when it comes to national, I mean, first of all, there's so many media outlets. You really have to focus, you know? But media has changed so much since the pandemic. It's changed tremendously. Like, we just have noticed so many of the people that were working aren't working anymore. You know, folks that, you know, certain publications, for example, national publications that would always do premieres or, you know, really focus on independent music and take, you know, some big risks on writing about independent artists. They're just not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
So the opportunities are more limited. And we just tell our clients flat out, like, look, you know, you need to understand something. It's a very competitive market. The media market's very competitive. So you have to have a buzz going. They're not going to just listen.
Yeah.
It's not the old days. You know, they would just take, you know, roll their dice and say, that's a really cool artist. I'm going to write about it. It's just not like that right now.
Right.
I mean, maybe some of the smaller blogs and stuff. But bottom line, So we try to encourage our music clients here in Austin to really build their story out of this market and make, like, blow it up out of this market so they can then have a story to tell to the larger market.
Right.
You know, start getting that buzz going. Have your fan base built up. Have your venues getting full. I mean, build it up so you can legit launch out of this market.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Versus, I want national press right now while I'm building my career out of Austin. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that. You know? So
that must be a tough. I mean, I know it just from like consultations at Austin Music Foundation where you're like, buddy, you're not going to do that right now. Like, you know, that's not in the immediate future for you. Yeah. Like that's people have ambitions and they have dreams. It's so funny, sort of that expectation of, but there is like, we've lost so many different publications, and that the way that fame works now is like, I always knew the person that was on the cover of Rolling Stone. Like I knew who that person was and what they did and probably knew their name. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? And now, or whoever was playing on Saturday Night Live or whatever, like you knew who that band was. And like now you can walk by and look at somebody on the front of Rolling Stone and go like, I have no idea who that person is or what they do. Who is that?
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, we've lost certain things too, like the whole MTV old video channel, you know, where we'd watch videos and we'd be able to identify the content. Now it's, what it is content overload right now, to the extent that there's just so much content out there, so much online, that special thing of like getting on the cover, or, you know, it's like, it's just, there's just so much to discover and find out, you know?
Yeah. You know, the thing that I've noticed, and I had a really dark conversation. Do you know Wofford Dinius?
Do I? Yes.
I thought I was going to make him cry when I said this, but I feel like we grew up in an era where entertainment dictated the culture. Kids dressed like rock stars. Beatles came out.
Right.
Kids started bands and had long hair.
Yep.
Everyone, when I was in high school, there were like six girls that didn't dress like Madonna in my school, but the rest of them all just, you know, there's not kids dressing like Billie Eilish now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it doesn't drive the culture like it did. Like now everyone is their own little individual thing where they're reporting. Like now, before, if you had a camera like in the 80s or something, you went to a concert, you would zoom in and try and take a picture of Madonna. But now you'd be like, hey, I'm at Madonna, you know, like you're the subject.
You're the content creator.
You're the content.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? It's it's cool, but it's also kind of dangerous. I feel like the people that make this stuff are just as, like if my grandma posts something, she'll get as many likes as I do. Uh-huh. But I made something and spent time making it. My grandma's like, oh, look, a dog. You know what I mean?
Yes, because people find it funny, you know, when somebody of that generation.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, but it's not so much about the creation that people are making anymore. It's kind of about the story of the person. You know what I mean? Yeah. All of that kind of stuff kind of comes in, and it's no longer like the... Yeah, it's weird. Like, movies and music don't really drive the culture anymore.
It's swapped around. That's right. I mean, my daughter, she loves TikTok for that reason. She's... actually, speaking of, like, I need a young person doing my TikToks for us. That she's mastered the technology. She knows how to do all the things. You know, she's 11. But I think more than anything, she just enjoys it. She just enjoys the class. It's such an easy thing to do. It's like a game almost. You know, so that's how she and her friends communicate with each other socially, is through these. You know, they play, they get together, they make videos together, but then they post a TikTok, and then sometimes they will acknowledge each other in a TikTok, and it's like, oh, and then it's like a social dynamic. It's so different that young generation,
so
especially.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's cool as a parent to be like, oh, what is she posting? What'd she post? And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Or, you know, that's funny. And I'm actually seeing parts of her personality come out on it, which I think is hilarious. I mean, I don't encourage her to use it too much, but she's at that age where that's just how they're spent. You know, they love it.
Yeah.
They just love it.
I was having a conversation with my sister about my little nephew there. He's five now, but it's like, when do you let him get involved? And I'm like, well, in some ways, in our mind, in the way that we grew up, you don't want your kid getting involved in that because you don't know what's going to, but then you're like going to send a kid into the world that doesn't have the tools that the other kids have.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to make it 1992 again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, I will say this because I have a boy in middle school and my daughter's in middle school. One of the things that I have to say is like the driving reason why I'm, you know, okay with any of it is because I keep an eye on them. I really watch what they're doing. Yeah. I don't like just turn my head for a week and go, oh, well, you know, it's like I'm trying to keep on top of it because you just have to. It is dangerous. There's no question about it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You got to have those, you know, the age. I mean, you got to make sure they've got the privacy stuff on and that people can't contact them that aren't supposed to be in touch because there's so many weirdos out there. It's just so unsafe. So that's important. I tell the kids, I'm like, you guys have phones. That doesn't mean that, you know, mom's not going to be seeing what you're doing. It's just not happening. You're too young, you know.
That's responsible parenting because you don't want to, you can't keep it away from them. That's the thing. That's the thing that I have with my sister and I. She lives in Miami. She has a different political view than I do and believes that the Ron DeSantis, like, don't say gay thing is great because she feels like her son will be influenced, even though that's not how it works, to change his sexuality because of what the teacher explains to him. And my argument to that is, wouldn't you rather have your child explain have it explained to your child by someone who is trained to explain it rather than some little kid whose dad's some horrible homophobic jerk, and they're going to hear about it.
Yeah.
Why not hear about it from somebody who can explain it in a real way?
Yeah.
That's not some fantastical, freaky way that's going to, you know, scare a kid or something, you know?
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, this generation is so much more aware of
all that
those things. You can't hide it. There's no hiding it.
Yeah.
I mean, if, especially if you think you're going to hide it from them in your household, they're still going to see it at another kid's house, or they're going to see it or hear about it at school. It's just the way it is right now. So I think it's better to just be very open with your kids about what's going on.
Yeah.
And get ahead of it and just realize like that's the generational gap is like, I always thought I was I think I'm a very progressive mom and I'm super open-minded and cool. But I also know that like some of the stuff that my kids are getting exposed to and dealing with is way beyond my own. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so all the parents have been, I think we've all been comforting one another behind the scenes. Like, you too?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like,
well, it's even moving fast. I mean, for you guys, it's like, it's almost like playing whack-a-mole, like stuff's popping up every day that's like, oh my God, there's a new danger for my child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank God I just have a dog laying there. It's got a ripped up toys. So you're going to take some personal time this summer. What are you going to do?
I'm going to take some time with the kids. I'm going to take them on a little road trip this summer. We're going to go to California for a really cool event with the Adderley School, who's a client of ours. They're doing a 30th anniversary out there. And then it's going to kick my daughter and son were in that program too.
That's
musical
great.
Theater program.
That's Akina's family's
thing. Mom, Janet Adderley. And then we're going to just do a road trip through California. I'm going to try to take him to Joshua Tree and do some stuff. My son wants to go skateboarding in Venice Beach. So we're going to do that. And then Hawaii. We're going to do Hawaii for a little while.
Wow.
Yeah. Just for, you know, a week or so. So after that, later this summer, I'm going to go. My personal trip this summer is Greece. I'm going to Greece.
Oh, nice.
So, some girlfriends. So, just, I'm trying to do the bucket list thing. Where I'm like, all right, I've got to create the bucket list. And then just like every year, you just try to, you know, check something off. And so that's been on my list for a while.
Yeah. I would love to go to Greece. So what, the 16-year mark, your sweet 16 is past. You're having this giant 80s party. Then what's next? Do you see, because you're like an actively forward-moving person. You must have some vision of where you want to see Juice go in the next 16 years.
I'm super pumped because, I mean, I feel like as a CEO or founder, you know, I want to go to the next level in my own leadership abilities and really try to figure out, again, like how to empower the team to feel like they're reaching all of their career goals that they could possibly ever have with us. So my focus for the next few years is like stepping into the shoes of that type of leader. You know, I just found out yesterday I got into an accelerator program called EO. It's an entrepreneur focused accelerator, and it's something I've been wanting to do forever. So that's going to be cool because I'll be able to work with other peers who have started companies, and you really just get to bounce ideas off of each other. And then where do we go from here? You know, I love what we do. And I think that I just want to do more of it and do it, you know, more, I'd say, optimally for the team and our clients, in the sense of just, I can't really see myself changing anything we're doing, you know?
Yeah,
Like, we're so happy to be in the middle of this community. And like, I feel so lucky, you know, because it's like, and much like yourself, because I'm sure you feel this way with all the guests you have coming through.
Yeah,
and the
type
of work you do. There's so many fascinating, amazing people and things going on here. It's like, to be in the middle of all that, it just makes me feel so happy.
You did a podcast.
Yes.
I
did. And in fact, I might be doing it again soon. That was called Up and Comers. Okay. And it was all about the startup community.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm meeting with Founding Media today about, they're doing some new podcasts that they're rolling out. So they may want to talk to me about those. But we put it on pause because like it was right before the pandemic.
Yeah, I remember that.
We got a lot in the can. And I felt like we were like gearing up, and then pandemic. And then, so it's time to look at that again.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you so much for being a great ally.
Thank you.
You are one of my favorite publicists I get to deal with on a regular basis. Your team is always fantastic. And they really don't send, like, there's not much I say no to from you guys. So that's good. There's some people where you're just like, are you serious? Like, I don't want this on my show. But the Sweet 16 party, go to Juice Consulting. Juiceconsulting.com to find out more about what they do. You can go to their Instagram page to find out how to win an invitation.
That's right.
For you and a guest to the great 80s party. People are going to dress 80s?
Yes, it is a prom, 80s prom.
80s
so
prom.
It's going to be totally retro. I mean, the crazier the better, as far as I'm concerned. So I think it'll be fun. We're gonna have our own red carpet with some, you know, have a nice red carpet feeling when you come in. You get to take your pictures and pretend you're a celebrity. You might be a celebrity, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
You come in, you know, who knows who it is going to be on that red carpet. And this is like a big thank you to our community and the clients, and just a way to acknowledge our gratefulness, honestly.
Yeah.
So,
had it been on any other day, I would have gone.
I know.
It was like, really, like, this is the one thing I can't miss in my life.
You cannot miss that.
I don't want to, but it was a sad, sad day to know that I couldn't go, because I did enjoy myself at the 10th anniversary. So,
well, your grandmother turning 100, that's
a big
extraordinary
one. Yeah.
What's her name?
Olga.
Olga.
Yeah.
That's a cool name.
Everyone calls her Abita. I couldn't say Abuelita when I was a little kid, so. It's Abita, but all my friends call her Abita and stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
Have a great party.
Thank you.
With Primo the Alien and my friend Henry Invisible. You know, Henry and me used to play together in the 90s when
really?
He was in Gingerbread Men. Yeah.
Ah, he's so great.
He is so great.
Yeah. He's a lovely person.
He's a lovely guy. And he's doing great stuff, too. Like, the stuff he's, like, his music is fantastic.
Yeah.
Better than ever.
Yeah, we're working on his campaign right now. He's got just single after single coming out. And he obviously just playing some really, just a Utopia Fest and just has wonderful gigs. So, I mean, just a diamond, you know?
Yeah. He's really good, and he has such a nice vibe. I can't see anybody not wanting him at their thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and I've been fangirling out about Primo for years.
Oh, yeah.
So to have her at our party is just really special for me.
Yeah.
And I love Spaceflight Records, too.
Those me,
guys
too.
Those are great.
Yeah, they really, they're doing such great stuff. And it's such an inspiration to see people doing, like, you know, no one's getting rich over there. They're doing it because of their love of music and their love of people that make it. And that's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. It is. And speaking of which, thank you for all you do, because you are obviously.
Yeah, man. We're all in it together.
You know?
And I feel that this is a great, it's kind of makes the hair on my arm stand up sometimes, not just like the musicians, but also like the music people fan. I went to this Austin Rehearsal Complex party a couple weeks ago at Cedar Creek, and you just forget, like, it's also funny, like, sorry, but Austin, the music scene in Austin has always been run by really cool women. As long as I've been like a member of it since the early 90s. There was like Jan Merkin and Betsy Nissen, all these people that kind of ran the thing.
Mm.
It's pretty awesome. It's nice to see it go on generationally like that. But it's nice to be a member of this family with you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
and
I like you.
That's why Austin feels so good, like as home, you know? I mean, I'm from Pennsylvania and I came here, you know, later in life, but it's it's been like, I'm like, I'm so glad to be here, so happy to be here and be raising kids here.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
You're welcome. For coming today. Yep. Yeah, thank you. That was Heather Wagner-Reed. You can find Juice Consulting at juiceconsulting.com. Great conversation, wasn't it? I really love her, man. I'm glad she's my friend. Congratulations on turning 16. Don't forget, you can go to their Sweet 16 party by getting invited. You got to go to their Instagram page and figure out how to do it from there, okay? Do that. Congratulations to Juice and everyone there at Juice Consulting and, of course, Heather, all right? If you're interested in subscribing to this show, gang, you can find us wherever it is you stream and download your podcast, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. We drop the From the Vault Saturday night sometimes. I don't think there's going to be one this week, but Primo the Alien, who is performing at the Juice Consulting Sweet 16 party, which is an 80s theme party, will be my guest on Friday. So tune in for that, all right? Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.